do this first one is Romans 8:38. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in addition to that, and we know that all things work together for the good, those who believe, who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah.
Together.
broken man, and you made me brand new, Lord. Even though I don't understand sometimes, Lord, why I have to walk through the storms, but Lord Jesus, I know that I can walk without fear. I know nothing's going to separate me from your love, from your protection, from your grace, and from your mercy, Lord Jesus. I know, Lord, without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm in your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Many times, I've found myself in situations where I knew I got myself into it. Made some bad decisions and had to pray my way out. God knew already ahead of time of all the decisions I would ever make. And he knew when I would finally bow down. Sometimes those situations are not brought on by us. Am I right? Sometimes it's just an attack. Sometimes those seem the worst, but honestly, God never changes. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Sacrifice. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break those chains, Lord Jesus. Break those chains of loneliness. Break those chains of hurt. Break those chains of tragedy. Break those chains of stubbornness. Those chains of distraction. Break the chains of brokenness. Break the chains of sickness. Because nothing can separate us. No chain, no principality, no spirit, nothing created can separate us from the love of God. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Tap into his love. Again.
We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. And now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
He's still got work to do.
We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. And now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the rain. Lord, you prophesied in your word that there would be a former and a latter rain that would come together. I just sense in my spirit, Lord, it's so close. And Father, you also told us in the Bible that we get a picture of the saints as they pray, they're gathered in a bowl of heaven. And when that bowl gets to a certain point, Lord, it's poured out. Lord, I just sense in my spirit there's a pouring out of your mighty glory that's coming upon this earth. We're a part of that, Lord, and we just thank you when we come together. There's an accumulation of your glory coming together. And Father, we just pour out ourselves before you today, Lord, to let that glory, your glory that's upon us, that's in us, be upon us to go out, Lord, and win the lost, to see the miracles that were prophesied in the latter days, that, Lord, there will be greater works that will be done by your church. Walking in that glory, that manifested glory. Lord Jesus, we believe it. We receive it. We thank you, Lord, for choosing this place, for building this church here in Concord at 757 Harris Street. Lord, just like the Azusa revival broke out, 312. The address was 312. Lord, you're not looking for a specific address. You're looking for people that are hungry to see your mighty power displayed. And Father, we're a church here at 757 Harris Street that's ready. Lord, we've been preparing, and now, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that whatever needs to happen in the earth, we're your vessels, Lord. And we just pour ourselves out before you today. That flood, Lord, let it flood through us. It's an unstoppable flood that the enemy, religion, has tried to dam it up. But in the name of Jesus, we call that wall down. We speak against the walls of religion that would try to keep people away from you, Lord. We break those walls today. We break those chains of religion, man's ideas of what God is, of who God is. And Father, we thank you today, Lord. We're a church. We know who God is. And we just allow your presence and your power in our midst today, Lord, to transform our lives and to renew our minds and keep our feet planted upon the rock that is Christ Jesus, our Lord, and soon and reigning King of this earth. And Father, we just give you the praise today, Lord, for inhabiting our praise and moving obstacles out of our way. Thank you, Jesus. Speak blessings to this body today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? You can be seated. Just continue to worship the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're all special. There's a lot of special people that are missing here today. God knows where they are, but he will not make them come and worship him. As Wayne was ministering in music, I was just putting myself where Jesus was. At one time, Jesus said the power of God, the presence and the power of God was there. It was present to heal. All those that were there could have reached out at any time and received their healing. But he would not. They would not. Why? Because they were so caught up in what we're talking about, fear and the world, what the law had brought. The law brought bondage of sin. A revelation of what sin was. But Jesus was here to deliver us. And he did exactly what the Father instructed him to do. He spoke words of life, of love, of comfort, of deliverance. And he said, all that are thirsty, let them come. And all that are hungry, let them come. That means all. A-double-L. I made that decision about 22 years ago. I came to Jesus on my couch at home. You don't have to understand Jesus. You just believe him. And you don't have to understand. Don't make it complicated. Just believe that Jesus loves you. And if you come to him, you will experience that love forever. Amen. But that's a choice only you can make. I can remember as a kid, you know, mom took me to church, but I can't really tell you I made that decision. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to come down. I did it out of act of, it's the right thing to do, but you've got to know. It's a knowing. It ain't something you do. It's a knowing. And when you make that commitment to him, it don't have to be in a church. When you make that commitment, he writes your name in his book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a book of remembrance. He holds it before him. And until the Father says, the book is finished, son, everybody has an opportunity, anywhere, any place, any time, all those that call upon the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus, shall be saved. 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 Amen. So you're going to hear a good word about what it is to be saved today. Amen. It's more than just giving your life to Christ. It's walking it out with him. Amen. Being a friend. He calls you his friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Brother Wayne, ministering from your heart today. What the Lord specifically wanted to say and hear. Man, he's just getting started. And we think about church 10 to 12. Man, Jesus is 24/7 church, man. Praying, interceding. But you know what? And he does everything else. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But guess what? In him, there is no ending. You think you get to the end, man, it just starts all over again. Thank you, Jesus. Life as we know it down here hadn't even begun. We hadn't even touched what everlasting life. I mean, building a relationship with the Father, that is everlasting life. To know him, to know that we have a relationship with God. To know you have. That's the difference in the grounds that you're in, as far as the places that you're in, whether it be the churches that you're in, is to know that you have a relationship with God. And no matter how bad of a day, how bad you mess it up, he's never going to change who he is. See, what I'm so thankful for about being a Christian, once I put my faith in Christ, when I put my faith in him, that you're my Lord and my Savior, I get sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the guarantee that I have. That I'm never going to be taken out of that relationship, no matter if I get mad and cuss somebody out, or if I don't come to church for 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 years. But if I stay in Christ, see, because it's not what I did, it's not the prayer that I prayed, it's what the prayer that Jesus prayed for me in the garden. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And when Jesus sealed it on the cross by his blood, it's an everlasting covenant that I can't break. My sin can't break it. Why? Because Jesus never had sin. He became sin, but he was not a sinner. He was God's own son. And he took my sin, and he took it, and he placed it as far as the east is from the west. So when the devil brings up your past, show him his future. The lake of fire. You're not going to be there, because God has given me the consuming fire of the Holy Ghost. Only fire you're going to see in a Christian is God's consuming fire. It's the fire of love, restoration. See, God's fire will burn out the drought, and your life will rise to the top. See, I died in Christ, but when Christ arose, we arose. Amen? See, Jesus went to hell for us, so that we don't have to go. Sheol, he went to Abraham's bosom and he set all those saints free that also trusted in him but didn't have the name of Jesus. They had the law and the prophets and Moses. But Jesus showed up in hell and said, here I am. He preached the gospel, the good news to those that the devil thought he had. And he vacated that spot that was called Abraham's bosom. That was the righteous dead that peeped about God's word. That made them righteous for God. And Jesus said, I'm here to collect the payment. And he got them. And he led captivity captive. He took the captives free and led them to heaven. Paradise. And Jesus, in his last dying breath on a cross, looked to a thief. Because the thief looked to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me. That's all you got to say. Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus didn't say, well, did you pay your tithes? I saw when you didn't pay your tithes. No, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not what you did, it's what Jesus said. Today you will be with me in paradise. You know, the thief, he couldn't clap. He couldn't praise him because his hands were nailed to a cross. He couldn't stand up because his feet was nailed to a cross, but on the inside, he rejoiced. He rejoiced. Because it ain't what we do with our hands or what our feet. It's what Christ did when he said, today. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. It matters what Jesus says. Amen. And can't no devil, can't no man separate me from the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's my first introduction. Amen. Well, that's the Lord's introduction. Then I'll say, as he leads me. Amen. That's good news. Amen. And, I'll just go on. I want to personally, you know, this 2020s, you know, a lot of people dealing with a lot of stuff. You know, we're not going to focus on 2020. We're going to focus on Jesus because he don't look at years. He looks at his word. But I want to dedicate this specific service today to one of my spiritual daughters, Haley Gray, Pastor Scott's daughter. At the end, we're going to agree corporately for a procedure that she's going to have December the 11th. But I want to dedicate this to her specifically because that's what the Lord said do. But if you, I think this was last year, year before. You remember at Christmas, sometimes we'll pass out our little. It was last year. It was last year. Usually we did Christmas cards and put them in a box. Well, Sherry had an idea. Why don't we just write something like our own personal and just give it to everybody? And then we put ours on the refrigerator. But today I read this and I said, I want to share this specifically for Haley, but to the church. To my beloved child. Now, this is whoever in this church. You don't put a name on it. You just pass it around and it don't have a name, but whoever's here knew they wrote it. But see, the word is everlasting. To my beloved child, look at all the incredible things I have created, and you are the most special to me. You are very precious to me, and I am constantly thinking about you. My thoughts to you are too numerous to count. My thoughts towards you are good, and my plans for you will give you a bright future. When God was talking to Abraham about the stars and his descendants, I bet God could say to us, look at the bright stars that you can see far away. That is my love and thoughts towards you every day. God is love. Blessings to you and your family this Christmas. You know, this is our last Sunday before we get into December. But I wanted to share that because you are special. You are a beloved child of God. And when you look at the stars, you're more precious than those stars. They're unnumerous. You can't count them. That's how God feels to you. His blessings are unfathomable. When you think God couldn't bless you anymore, just look up. Look up. He told Abraham, look up. I'm going to make your seed. I'm going to make your descendants like that. We're a part of Father Abraham. Amen. That blessing is still taking place. Abraham's still up in heaven saying, Lord, you just keep adding to it, Lord. Abraham lived past that blessing. The blessing's still taking effect. We are of Father Abraham. Those that are of faith in Christ Jesus, we're the seed of Abraham. So today I want to talk, it's probably going to be a series. 3 pages, well, 6 altogether, because I use front and back now. I don't waste no paper. I learned how to print these things on both sides, Wayne. Lord's helping me, I tell you. But I want to focus on, where is my there? Where is my there? It's out of 1 Kings, talking about Elijah. So I want to discuss about, he's a major prophet in the Old Testament, and his name was Elijah. You know, some of you have nicknames. Scooter Boot, Boots, you know, Bootsy. I don't know all you guys' nickname. I know Sherry, her sisters, Yay Yay, kids call her Yay Yay, and Paw Paw, Mimi. Well, Elijah was called Elijah the Tishbite. Go figure, Tishbite. I didn't do a real word name search on him, but Tishbite, that's what he was called. Very little background is given on this major prophet, Elijah. He just appeared on the scene in 1 Kings. Let me go ahead and turn my Bible there, whether I got some notes. That don't mean nothing, right, to a pastor. Notes mean nothing. What matters is what the Holy Ghost. What do you Barnabas and Silas stood up And when they said something, the Holy Ghost said. See, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you trust God, when you speak, you're speaking for God. So it's important what you say. Amen? Because not everybody saying something that is representing God correctly, right? That's right. This is the mirror by which we reflect on what's being said. Right? Take it back to the Word of God. King James is a good Bible. I got a Spirit-filled King James, New King James, Spirit-filled version. Amen? Can't go wrong. But very little background is given on Elijah. He just appeared on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17. If you want to get your Bible, get close there. And he went and he stood before a king. Stood before the king of Israel. This king's name was Ahab. If you like to read, you know, the Bible says readers are leaders. If you like to study, study about little King Ahab a little bit. You'll find out he was the most wickedest king that ever ruled Israel. Now that's pretty bad when you put yourself in that category. He stood, and Elijah showed up, stood before the king Ahab. And see, it wasn't Elijah's background. In other words, it wasn't his background that put Elijah at the center of attention. You know what did? It was the word that he had from the Lord. That's what is going to get your attention. What has the king said? What has King Jesus said? Come on. What has the king decreed? What has King Jesus said? Come on, I believe what Jesus said. Amen. Pilate asked Jesus one time, what is truth? Jesus didn't have no reply. He didn't give him an example here. He said, unless my Father wills you, ain't nothing you do. It ain't what you do, it's what my Father will. That's what's going to happen here today. That's kind of, I'm paraphrasing that in the Bible. When Jesus is standing there before his accusers, this man has done no wrong. This man has done no wrong. Crucify him. What sense does that make? We're living in a world. The truth is this. We don't care about the truth. We're going to talk about my truth. What is truth? It ain't what I believe. It's what Jesus said. That's the truth. Come on, guys. There's a lot of truths out there trying to say, well, this is my truth. This is what I believe. Well, I don't care what you believe unless you believe the word of God, the word of the Lord, which is the Holy Scriptures. Amen? And there's only one God. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe there's one God, but he manifests himself in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yahweh. That Jesus, King Jesus, Cecil, has made you a king and a priest. Revelation 1:6 says, Jesus has made us kings and priests unto who? God, his Father. To him, to God our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. I say this today to encourage you, to stir you up. That in these troubling times, anybody believe we in troubling times? Jesus said there's going to be tribulation as you ain't seen. He said, but let not your heart be troubled. That's a promise, but it's a choice. We can let our hearts be troubled, or we cannot, but it's going to all depend on what you hear and with what measure you hear. Amen? It all depends on what the measure you hear. I'm here to encourage you that in these troubling times, and guys, there's some churches and pastors, they can't. Their churches are locked down still. We're in troubling times because we want the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is what's going to remain. It's what the Lord has said. I don't care what climate change is doing. I thank God there's people that's their living. That's what they do. They make, they're scientists. That's okay as long as they don't leave the word of the Lord out of it. Because without his word, this world would not exist. That's the science I believe in, the word of the Lord. Amen? This world's going to come to an end, climate change. But until then, I got a promise that God said, as long as this earth remains, it's going to be hot, it's going to be cold. Now, he didn't put a temperature on it, but it's going to be not too hot that I can't live and not too cold that I can't survive. Why? Because God said it. Can I get a weak amen? As long as the earth remains hot and cold, summer and winter, springtime, summertime. And then when the earth does not remain, I don't care. I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be where God puts me. He's going to make me a new heaven and a new earth. And I won't have to worry about that old thermostat on the wall anymore. It's going to be set. Hallelujah, say set. And your pastor's not, you're not going to come in here and be cold one day and be hot the next. We're going to a city called Jerusalem where the Lord is the light. And I am one of his candles. That he is, well, you're special to God. I said, you're special to God. And the devil don't like God's people. Na, 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 na. I don't care what the devil thinks because he is not my Lord. Jesus is. So that's when you stand before kings. How do I do that? I have the boldness of the Holy Ghost. You are kings and priests. Position. Wherever you are, you are a leader. Amen. You are a king and a priest to God, not to people. But you love people, right? Because you love God. That doesn't mean you rule over them. It means you don't let the devil rule over you. Hallelujah. This is my body, purchased by the blood of the Lord. This is his temple. And I'm going to give him glory. Amen. I'm going to love you. Talking about your neighbor, whoever's nearby you. God's word, I'm here to encourage you, God's word in your mouth will steal the enemy every time. Stealing. I haven't studied, I know my kids, thank God I didn't have to study all the Greek and mythology and stuff that our kids have to study. You need to have, my kids have this foundation. They have to go to school and pass tests studying all the other different religions and mythologies, but you know what, it all comes down. That's okay, but I believe in Jesus. And he needs to start getting the right that he needs. Amen. Bible should be in school. If I got to learn all these other religions, this is the true religion right here. I rely on Jesus. Amen. And I ain't worried about if they take the Bibles out of school. All my kids are almost done with school. Why? Because the word lives within them. They are a walking Bible. Amen. Communism, they won't, you know, they tell you what you can have and what kind of books you can have, but they can't take Jesus. I don't care how bad it would get in this world. I got Christ, and he ain't going nowhere. Amen. He's right here for the whole world to see, but you got to open your mouth. Amen. Open your mouth sometimes. So we're talking about where is my there? Where are you going, Pastor? What are you talking about today? Well, three questions. I'm not going to dive into these. We might minister on these again. Andrew Womack did a good Bible study on them. Three questions before you want to know where your there is. Do you know where you are? That'd be one good question. Three questions you must be able to answer before you're even able to find where your there is. Three questions. Three simple questions. If you're taking notes, write them down. If not, you don't even have to buy the recording. You can download it. We'll make you a copy. Because you probably got some friends that that are asking these questions probably every day. You can find somebody. Who am I? Number one. Where did I come from? Number two. And number three, where am I going? Life's three most important questions. I was there one day and I couldn't answer it. I don't really know. Do I come from a monkey? They said I evolved from a monkey to what I am now, from I don't know, tadpoles, you know. So if you don't know where you came from, you definitely don't know who you are. So that one question will answer two. I'm talking about me now. And where am I going? I had my doubts. I really didn't know. I really didn't know. I believed, I knew there was a hell and a heaven, but I didn't know where I was going. Because I didn't really know how to get there and what was the qualifications. But now I do. I'm a good news preacher. I got some good news. Amen. So these are three questions you really need to answer, have the answer to before you really know where you are or where you're going or where you're there is. Who am I? You need to know you're a child of God. I'm talking about if you want to know where you're there is, when who am I? You need to know I want to be a child of God if I'm not. Where did I come from? A child of God. I came from God. I came from the spirit world. I am a spirit, I have a body, and I'm a soul, and I live in a body. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I make decisions, I have emotions, and I live in a body created by my maker God. That's who I am. I'm a child of God, and that's where I came from. I came from him. Where am I going? I'm going back to him. He breathed in the breath of Adam, and when mom left this world, God received my mother's breath, her spirit. She's in paradise with Jesus. Where is paradise? Wherever Jesus is. Amen. That's paradise. Para means I come along beside you. A parachute, if you jump out of an airplane without a with just a chute, if you jump out the chute, you're going to hit rock bottom real fast. But if you jump out the chute with a parachute, that means a para means one that comes along beside you. You've got a parachute that's going to, when you pull the lever, you want to know who packed your, you want to know who made that parachute too. You know, when you pull the plug, you want the chute to come out. Because there are people out there who want to kill you. You need to know who's packing your chute. When you pull the plug, man, the chute comes out, parachute. Well, you have a Holy Ghost, he's called a paraclete. When you become a child of God, he comes in you and walks with you. He's your standby. But he's not going to save you unless you call upon him. In other words, Jesus is your Savior. But whether you're the one that's pulling the plug on this thing. Because he'll walk right beside you as you go out to the bar. I'm talking about if you're a Christian. You know, you get tempted, you go hang out with your buddies. Oh, he's right there. He hasn't left. He's standing by. What does he activate on? The Word of God. Help me, Lord. He's there. He's speaking to you, but are you listening? Do you have ears to hear? See, I'm not talking, do you have ears to hear? I need to point here. Because these ears ain't what Jesus was talking about. Amen. He's talking about, are you hearing? This is where God speaks right here in your heart. That's the spirit of man. That's right in the center of your being. Your body is your spirit. I can't see your spirit, but your spirit's listening. Amen. I can see the effects of your spirit, whether you're a born-again spirit or you're a dead spirit. Because a born-again child of God over here in the world, see, that's how I see God's people, my family. Amen. But also that's how I know to go over here and minister to the lost. You know, amen. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Come on. He was a friend. They called him a friend. He was a friend of sinners. He was trying to be a friend of them to get them out of sin. Amen. Because they were lost. They didn't know how they got in such a bad place. Jesus said, if you listen, I got some Beatitudes. I want you to be like me. The Beatitudes are for a purpose, right? So, if you can answer those three questions, you're good. If not, see me at the end of the service, during the service. If you need to come down and say, hey, Pastor, I don't want to wait till the end. I need to know right now who I am. I don't know. Come. All those that Jesus said, come. He didn't put a time, place. He said, you don't have to wait till the pastors, till they play three songs or four songs. Come. He said, come. Amen. Come now. Amen. You're special. There's one person in here that needs to come now. Now, hey, this whole place is about you today. Because you're special in God's. If you don't have a relationship with him, he wants you to know you are special. This whole service would stop right now for you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's how special you are. So, if you're born again, what's being born again? Being born from above. Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus asking all these questions. And he said, Nicodemus, you're asking questions you really can't answer. Because to be born again means to be born from above. Not by your mind, but by the Spirit. And you got to do that by faith. And when that happens, your spirit man gets changed. And Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet. So the Spirit couldn't come in, but he was still being ministered to. Jesus was ministering something to him that one day, when he called upon Jesus, when the Holy Spirit would come there, it would be a reality. A reality would happen to him. I believed, and that's what Jesus said. And Lord, that's what I need. And boom, the Spirit comes in and takes out that dead spirit that can't understand God and gives you the Holy Ghost who will manifest. He will say to you and show you all these things and bring back to your memories all these things that Jesus has done. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's his ministry, is to show you how much God loves you. Amen? I got questions. God's still answering my questions. Amen? And, you know, and sometimes this is when people kind of miss it. They say, well, God didn't hear. He didn't answer my question. Well, how long did you stay in the classroom? Amen. We got any doctors in here? I'm working that way. We got Dr. Lisa Chillamy. Okay, get that hand up, Dr. Lisa Chillamy. See, I've done a lot of the work. I just hadn't done the last final, what you call that, dissertation. A doctor. No, she had to stick around. She had to read and learn and study to be a doctor of, help me, Lisa, theology, okay? Theo means God. Ology, the study of. She studied God for many, many years. Got the test to prove it, that she passed the test. That she knew. See, we just don't put a doctor. You want a surgeon operating on you? that just graduated from high school, has never operated, has never stuck anybody with a needle? No, you won't. Somebody's going to be operating on you. You want to know, first thing, do you know God? Amen. And how long have you been in the operating business? Because some people, they don't mind to just like to be a, what would you call them, volunteer for a what? A guinea pig. I wasn't going to say a guinea pig. But anyway, yes, exactly right. In other words, they want to experiment on you. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. You need to know, do you know God? So these questions, if you born again by faith in Christ Jesus, that's how you get born again. You put your hope in a Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he done for you. If you've done that, the rest of this teaching today, it's going to benefit you as far as having some understanding of it. Amen? And I'm not saying still, because the Word of God has power and life in itself. So I need to rephrase that. When you hear the Word of God, you're going to benefit from it if you'll have an ear to hear. Amen? But if not, just go ahead and put your faith and commitment to Christ right now and just glean from the rest of this teaching today. Amen? Just say, yes, amen, preacher. I need to know Jesus. I need to know he's my God. That's where I came from and that's where I'm going. Help me, Lord. Save me, Lord, and you'll be saved. And then keep coming to church and you'll learn what just happened to you. Amen? You need to stay around people that love you. Amen? With God's kind of love. Not one of these guys or women says, I love you because of the car you're driving. Or I love you because of the rings you're wearing. That ain't God's love. I like pizza, but I love God. I used to love pizza, but I broke that relationship. Amen. I like pizza, but I love God. He never does me wrong. So how did Elijah, we're going to use Elijah for an example. How did Elijah know where his there was? Because Elijah knew the voice of the Lord. He knew that voice. And he trusted that what God said, I'll just say, he was able to do what he said. Elijah was a seer. In the Old Testament, that means Elijah, he was a prophet. He was a seer. He saw things that other people couldn't see. He was a seer. And I'm sure up until this time, the Lord had showed him many visions. Why? Because God's not going to put a novice in that place. He's not going to send Elijah to go stand before the evilest king of Israel and give him something to say, if you don't believe what you're saying. God's not going to do that. Why? Because he loves Elijah too much to put him in harm's way that he wouldn't believe him, right? So you look at some people, why is that person? It seems like God's just trusting that person. Well, have you spent some prayer time with the Lord? In other words, why? God loves you. He don't want to send you before an army if you hadn't stood before your Sunday school class. Amen, right? We're building an army, right, Wayne? Well, why, Lord? Why is it taking so long? Well, the army's still being prepared. God knows more than we do. So give God some time. Amen. But God can also increase the anointing. He can speed up the time on some people if he needs to. Amen. If you'll be willing. I said if you'll be willing. You ain't got to go through. I'm going to try to stay focused. I see my pastor, Jim Howard, saying, stay focused, pastor. See, word he spoke to me sometimes back. Why? He's helping me in the ministry, my pastor. He's still sharpening. Iron sharpens iron. Keep them, you know, because you can go on all kind of ways here. Some thoughts that would hit your head, but what does the Lord say? No, don't say that right now, Jesus. God talking to Jesus. No, say this. Are you sure, Father? Are you sure? John the Baptist, you brood of vipers. Are you sure to say that, Lord? John said it. John, you brood of vipers. They come out to hear the word. No, you didn't. You come out here to check. You come out here to try to see what's going on. Because John was drawing more of a crowd than the church crowd. And they came out there judging John the Baptist. Let's go see what's going on. John said, you didn't come out here for repentance. You come out here because you wanted to see how you could make your church grow. That ain't what pastors are called to do. We're called to feed the sheep and lead the sheep. We ain't called to look at what that sheep doing over there, what that pastor doing over there. No, we're to pray for one another, right? Love one another. Do what God's called me to do. Teach you faith. Amen. And a lot of times I talk fast, so the Lord's working on me to slow things down sometimes. Okay? And go back. Anybody ever watch Pastor Keith Moore? He's a pastor slash teacher. So I've learned sometimes we preach the word, but sometimes the Lord says teach. Well, Lord, that's a lot to do on Sunday morning. Well, he said you don't have to do it all on Sunday morning. Him, he said he had all kind of notes, probably more pages than I got. And the pastor said, now, Jim, don't go up there and think you got to tell them everything you know in 45 minutes. Just a word of wisdom there. See, Wayne, there's all kind of songs you have in your heart. But when you prepare, don't think you got to play everything that you know. Just play what the Lord says and watch the church grow. It's not what you know that's going to grow the church. It's who you know. Amen. What he says. And if we'll do what he says, we'll see miracles. We'll see signs and wonders. Amen. We'll see his glory manifest. Because it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Amen. So where is our there? Well, Elijah knew he was there because he knew God's voice. And he trusted God's voice. He was a seer. God had showed him things. And those things, those visions came to pass. God had chosen Elijah before he was born to be a prophet. He was called to be a prophet, a seer. And God had been building and establishing this relationship when he was but a youth. Still got some youth in here. Colette, you're still young too. See, I call you all young compared to eternity. We all God's children. He didn't call us adults, right? He calls us his children. So I'll just tag you all kids today. How's that? Because God don't separate us. Amen. Now, there will be a separation between the goat and the sheep. Those that hear God's voice and those that, but goat always butts the pastor. But, pastor, I know you said this, but. Come on now. Let's stay the sheep way, the sheep course. Don't butt the word. So let's look at where Elijah first appears in the Bible. 1 Kings 16. I mentioned chapter 17. 1 Kings 16, verses 29 through 34. Now I'm going to read the word a little bit here. Amen. You need to read the word. You need to study this word. Come back and tell me, Pastor. You missed it right here, Pastor. You said thee and it said thou. Come on. Take the I's and dot the I's, cross the T's. Go home and study this word. Study this message and come back and give me part two. That's what every pastor wants. That's what every teacher wants. I don't want to just for you to memorize the scripture. I want you to learn the scriptures. Jesus said, learn of me. Take of my yoke and learn of me. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Don't make the gospel a fight. Don't make it a fight. Take the gospel and fight the devil, but we're supposed to make it good, taste good to you. I make two pecan pies I've made for my family dinner today. When I'm pouring in, I said, Lord, another cup. A cup of caro and a cup of sugar. I'm like, my piece is going to be real small because I'm getting some understanding. That's a lot of sugar in that pie. And I've ate a lot of sugar over my years, and it's caught up with me. So I got to work on. I got to take my slice and narrow it down. Amen. I keep telling Sherry, she says, make two pies. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to make one. There's a lot of sugar in this pie. But she says, no, make two. I said, okay, somebody's going to have that pie. Take it home. Amen. See, that's God speaking to me. Amen. Praise, thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord. 1 Kings, I'm supposed to read something, ain't I? 16. That's why I make notes. 29, verse 34. This is when the evilest king of Israel starts to reign, or has been reigning. It says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, thing didn't even make a noise when I hit it. Am I on? Man, y'all doing good back here. I scratched it, man. I got a good sound team back there. Praise the Lord. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, now you understand Israel was divided in kingdoms here. There's a king of Judah and there's a king of Israel. Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years This wicked, most wicked king ruled 22 years. Can you imagine? Thank God our voting season only goes 4 years. Think if you had to go under a king for 22 years and he was wicked. I'm talking about, let me keep on going here. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil. This is Ahab's. In the sight of the Lord more than all that were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sons of Jeroboam, the son of Nabal, that he took his wife, Jezebel. Ahab took a wife called Jezebel, the daughter of Thebal, or Baal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal. Say, put the devil. He went and served Baal. That's the devil. Devil, idol worshipers. And he went and served Baal and worshipped Baal. And he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab, what did I say here? Verse 34. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Zichbah. Wow. That's some names here, ain't they? He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. So, and I'll tell you, keep that thought there, but we're going to go on and see. The Bible is divided in chapter and verse. We're going to continue reading this, what was said here. Because I want to get you on over to 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 16. We're going to keep on going. So here's a little background there. This is the most evilest king set up. He married a woman. She's bad too. And here's Elijah, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, the king, as the Lord God, say Lord God, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. See, Elijah ain't standing alone. He's standing for the Lord. For whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, now get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. We're talking about where is your there? The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. I think about those crows, but I don't know if they're the same as ravens. You know, here comes the food. And brought him bread and in the morning and in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So Elijah arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there to gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to eat it, he called to her and said, but please bring me a morsel of bread. Why? Man, birds have been bringing me bread. I've been drinking by the brook. Surely this widow woman's going to listen to what I say. Amen. Let me carry on. As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Oh, no. Am I at the right place? Did I hear the word of the Lord, Wayne? I do not have bread. Only may go in and prepare for me and myself, my son, that we may eat it and live forever. Oh, no. This woman's speaking death. Doubt, death, fear. Lord, is this my there? And Elijah said to her, God's always gotten something to say, right? Do not fear. Come on. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but. Now, here's a good but. Because God said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. You old pastor, you old preacher, all you talk about, give us your money. Give us your money. See, that's what a lot of people say about preachers. But see, Elijah, let me go on. Just had to throw that in there. I'm not here to get your money. I'm here to get you a miracle. Amen. I'm here to get you to put your faith in God, not in man. Amen. For thus says the Lord God. I'm here to give you a word. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. The bin of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And she went and she did according to the word of the Lord of Elijah. And he and her household ate for many days, say many days, with just a little. Amen. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by Elijah. Now we're going to go back and we're going to dissect this a little bit. Because this will be a series. This is part one of Where Is Your There? I know, I can just say it right now. Amen. There'll be part two. Have I got you thinking about your there? Where? Lord, where is my there? Somebody could bring a song on that. Oh, where is my there? No, I ain't going to go that way, Susan. I'm thinking about the VeggieTales. Anybody know the VeggieTales? Oh, where is my, what is it? My hairbrush. I look at Ruthie, I think about hair. You want to come up here and sing it for us, Ruthie? No, but we're doing this for Haley. Haley's going to hear this. She's one of your sisters, too. Amen? Oh, where, who sang that? Larry the Cucumber, right? I don't have to look for a hairbrush. Amen. I don't have to look for it much anymore. So that's not my there. I don't care where the Bruce. I need a toothbrush. Amen. I need a toothbrush. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Where are we going with this, Pastor? Hold on, I'll tell you. We're going to look a bit. We're going to go into the background. We'll see behind the scenes, a little bit of background of the verses that we just read. Why, this is what the teacher does. Now, I'm believing on the Holy Ghost. He is the teacher of the church. And Holy Spirit, just make this come alive to the people. Let it be alive, Lord. This is an example we can glean from. Verse 31 in chapter 16. Go back a page on my Bible. And it came to pass, as though he had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nabal, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. The sins of Jeroboam were idolatry and turned the people of Israel to idolatry. The name Jezebel means chaste. But it is now synopsis with all that is evil. You getting a picture of this? Jezebel was very wicked. She was a very wicked woman. She led Ahab and all of Israel into Baal worship. She killed all the true prophets of God. Well, she thought she did. I said she thought she did. See, the devil always overplays his hand. He overplays it. And God's just, see, God's waiting. Now, it's not God's will that people suffer. Yeah, I'm talking about innocent people. Now, as a Christian, you will suffer persecution. But it's not God's will that you suffer from sin, sickness, disease, poverty. You understand? There is a suffering the Christian suffers, and that's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It put John on the Isle of Patmos. For what? He had this testimony. I believe God, and he gave me a vision. They couldn't kill him. They boiled him in oil. I'm talking about John. And God said, I got a place for you, John. It's on the Isle of Patmos. Nobody will mess with you there, and I'm going to reveal something to you. See, what the devil played, we can't kill John. We'll just isolate him. We'll lock him down. We'll quarantine him. Guess what? Go to the book of Revelation. Read about Jesus being revealed. See, they put Paul in prison, locked him up. Guess what? We're reading two-thirds of what Jesus showed Paul. Amen? They'd lock you down for 14 days. What are you going to do? Whine, cry? No, you need to go get a word from the Lord. Amen. And come out praising God with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, that's where God will take something and turn it for good. Because why? You love him. Amen. The world don't love you. The devil don't love you, but Jesus does. And he'll take and he'll turn that situation for good if you'll listen to him in that bad situation, that darkness, Paul and Silas. Started praising God. I like to say Paul and Silas, they locked them up, put them down in the prison, in the dungeon. It was dark, rat infested, bleeding. They were locked, they were chained, but they said, P.S., that's Paul and Silas, P.S. God, they started praising him with a song. You use the letter has P.S. at the end, right? Praising God, and you read the rest of the story. Miracle took place. Amen. So here's Jezebel. She's evil. She's a wicked lady. She had 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the grove that ate at her table. She had 900 prophets, false prophets, that served the devil come and eaten. This is the king of Israel's house. This is God's place of authority, and it's being overruled with evil. Ahab had Naboth killed so Ahab could take over possession of his vineyard. In other words, he went and said, hey, I want your place. And he said, no, this is my family inheritance, man. This is a vineyard. This is what my dad left to me. So Ahab went to Jezebel and said, hey, you know, crying and weeping, he won't give me the land. Jezebel said, well, go kill him. Just go kill him. You know, that's evil. Go kill him and take it. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what he did. Why is Elijah coming to the face of a king? It was time. Amen. So Elijah prophesied, this is a little bit of background. Elijah prophesied that she would be eaten by dogs, by Jezebel, which came to pass in 2 Kings. See, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, if you go home, you want to read and learn and get ahead of the pasture, man. The daughter of Jezebel, she had it. Well, I'm not going to read that. I want you to just know that about how evil and how wicked this pair was, the king and his queen. This is over God's people, Israel. Verse 32, it says, then he set up an altar. Ahab set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. The previous kings of Israel, from Jeroboam to Omri, had been idolaters also. But they made idols to the God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. This was the first king of Israel to oppose God. Now we're talking about Ahab. This is what I want you to hear today. This was the first king of Israel to oppose the God of Israel and openly worship Baal. What are we seeing today? We're seeing the sins of Jeroboam, of Jezebel, of Ahab. They don't care. We're sinning, and we're openly telling you we're sinning. Why? We don't care. We're worshiping evil, the devil. That's the sins of rebellion. It is the sins of witchcraft, Wiccan. You name it. The world is openly confessing, this is my truth. God made me this way. Not my God. Not the God of the Bible. And this was the first king who openly said, we're going to all worship Baal. Not afraid of the God. God, he doesn't see. He doesn't have ears. Talking about our God, our Lord. Well, back to the story. Do you see why it was time for Elijah to stand before the face of the king? Why? Because God loves you. He loved those people that were being, that's the leadership, and it passed down to the people. Evil. It's okay to do evil. God's not watching. God's not holding your sins. It's not, judgment's not coming. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, behold, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now, very little background is given on Elijah. He just appeared on the scene. And I talked about it wasn't his It wasn't his background that put him at the center of attention. It was the word that he had from the Lord. This was a prophesied punishment for the Israelites if they quit seeking the Lord and turn to the other gods. In Deuteronomy 11, 16 through 17, this is before 1 Kings. Deuteronomy, it said pretty much, if you turn from other gods and worship them, you will not have the earth, the heavens will not give forth the rain. So Elijah is showing up here prophesying this. So in a sense, Elijah was just pronouncing what God's word had said would happen. Why? He believed it. He believed what God had said. If you do this, all these curses are going to come upon you. But if you do this and you serve the Lord, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. So what's happening? God's word's coming to pass. Each one of us, I'm talking to you now, talking to me. Each one of us has a word from God. We have a lot of words that God has spoken to us. Amen? Good words. Words of life. If we are saved, we have God's word on salvation. If we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have God's word on the baptism, et cetera, et cetera. The only difference is that Elijah knew what he had and was fearless, say fearless, in speaking it in front of the leader, the king of Israel, the most wickedest king that ever lived. Why? He had not a spirit of fear. Now, at that moment, amen? Not at that moment. Why? Because he had been seeking God. The anointing, see, the anointing in the Old Testament would have come on the prophets. But it would leave. It would come on and leave. Why? He wasn't born again. But God still loved us. Amen? And he would send that prophet to the king. Why? There's people suffering because of his wickedness. Right to the top person in the nation. Bypassed all the legislators, all these people, and went to the head man. Sometimes people want to pray. Not us. Sometimes people want to pray, and I'm going to kind of probably tie this up right here. Y'all need to stretch up and move around a little bit. Need to come have Wayne sing a little, get a little happy song going here. Get some happy feet in here. Sometimes people would pray, see God move, and then they would stand and say, I'm talking about maybe some people in the church, pray, do this, do that, and they would stand and say, when it happened, I prayed for that. That happened. I've been praying about that. That's not the way it works. We need to speak, and the signs will follow us. We speak before the sign shows up. This is what Elijah did. He had a word from the Lord, and he delivered it. My pastor, Reed Robinson, for many years, had many messages from many people. He worked for the United States Postal Service. He delivered through rain, through snow, through sleet. Right, Miss Tammy? He was up and he was delivering what the U.S. Postal Service was created to do, deliver packages. Elijah had a word from the Lord to deliver the kingdom of Israel, to deliver God's people. And he had to take it to the top, because the anointing stops from the top and it flows down to the body. Amen? That's what I'm called to do, is bring you a word of encouragement. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because of bad leadership. People that are not have a relationship with God. We suffer. That's the Old Testament. We have a better covenant. Amen? Our king, his palace lives in me. I said his palace lives in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. His palace, his rule, the kingdom is in me. Jesus rules over that kingdom. Amen? It's an invisible kingdom to the world. You are FBI agent. You have been to the Faith Bible Institute, Word of Faith Worship Center. You are God's FBI agents. The Word of God is in you. It's hidden in your heart. But there's times you have to go and you have to stand before the enemy of your soul and you have to declare, this is what Jesus said. And I am his disciple and I stand and say what he says. I shall not be moved. And then the miracles, the healing, the deliverance, it shows up. Amen. If they receive, See, no, they didn't receive his leadership. They knew the law. They knew God. They knew the blessing. No, this was pronounced too. The blessing was pronounced. And see, Jesus has pronounced a blessing on his word. And you carry his word if you're born again. Amen. The word abides in you. I said the word abides in you. So we need to speak and signs will follow us. If Elijah had just prayed for the drought but not spoken it out in prophecy, you can speak prophecy. You can prophesy what God has said into the earth. That's how he works. If he had not spoken it out in prophecy before it happened, then any claims that he would have been as to being in judgment of the Lord would have been questionable. But because he prophesied this in advance, there was no doubt about it. Likewise, we have to be bold. I said be bold. Elaine knows something about being bold. To speak the word God has given you over your domain. I said over your domain. The Bible promises us everywhere. Everywhere I put the soles of my feet. God has given me that place. Amen. Now, some people might not like you in that place, but these are your feet. Amen. And these are the feet that bring gospel of peace. Jesus said, wherever you go, whatever house, whatever business, release your peace. Bring my peace to it. Bring my word. Amen. You don't have to be, now if God's called you to be a prophet, be a prophet. But he's all called us to bring a word of salvation. That means healing, deliverance, coming to a relationship with Jesus. It's that salvation. It's a word. It's more than just coming to God. It's walking with him, talking about him. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. I said, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. I'm going to show you the end of this message, but we're going to still fill it in. There's a specific word. Ahab stood before that king. He represented the devil, Ahab. So Elijah represents Jesus standing before those temptations and trials. And he said, just like the three Hebrew boys, we will not bend or bow or burn. Why? Because you have the word of God on the inside of you. And no matter 2020, now I said this, I want to dedicate this to Haley because she's going to have a procedure that she's going to have on her body. And the scripture, 1 Kings, is about a bad situation that turned good. Elijah had a good word, delivered it. And then if you read on in the story, the queen didn't like his word and sent a messenger with a note that gave him a vision. She pretty much said, you destroyed my kingdom. You destroyed all my prophets of the devil, of Baal. And she said, are you not going to be like one of these? She planted a seed of fear in Elijah. Elijah did this great battle, destroyed all the prophets of Baal, and then got in fear and fled from that place. But at the end of that, as Elijah's there in a cave, depressed, despondent, where's his there? He lost his vision. If you lose your vision, you'll lose your place. But God, I said, but God, while he was in that cave, said, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Have I not called you to be a prophet, to stand before kings? What are you doing here, Elijah? By the small, still voice. And God brought an earthquake. He took a whirlwind and he bashed it into the mountain. God brought three signs to Elijah in that cave. He brought a whirlwind. And he brought a fire. And he said to Elijah, and then a small, still voice. So what I want you to hear today, 2020 has been a year of great trouble for a lot of people. I said for a lot of people. And Haley's standing in a place right now that she's heard the voice of the Lord. And all these, see what God wants us to know through all these circumstances, through whirlwinds, through earthquakes, through disasters. Don't look at that. Don't look at the trouble. Listen to God's small, still voice. The voice of faith, not the voice of fear. And when you do that, you will have the victory.